May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 315. Righteous are the works of God, all his ways are holy. Just his judgments fit his rod to correct our folly. 315.
Thank you.
us read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them, and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach, in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things?' The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is, being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we need thee now, dear Lord, to teach us how to pray. We cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Oh, how we need that real indicting of thy Holy Spirit, that we might ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and holy will that we should ask for. Dear Lord, do help us, we pray, to ask in faith and nothing wavering. We seek thy rich blessing upon thy word that we have read together. And oh, that thou wouldst apply thy word this night with divine power, and that it may be made life and power to our never-dying souls. Lord, we do seek for thy sweet presence to be feeling thee known and felt in our hearts, oh, that we may experience what dear John and Peter did, that and those perceive that they had been with Jesus. Lord, may we know what it is to be with thee, and to feel thee nigh at hand. And, oh Lord, we come before thee poor and helpless, in and of ourselves can do nothing. Lord, we do seek that thou wilt grant to us a token of thy love this night. Oh, may we sweetly prove this to be thy divine appointment, and that thy name may be honoured and glorified, and that we may appraise thy holy name. Oh, we would seek for grace, dear Lord, to confess our many, many sins. Oh, how we need thee to give to us that real God-given repentance that needeth not to be repented of, and that we may be ever at thy feet, mourning and weeping and grieving over our many, many sins. O Lord, how we need thee to wash us and to cleanse us and to make us white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, we pray to be cleansed from all sin and be at thy dear feet, blessing and praising thee for that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness, the fountain of thy precious blood. Oh, that we may be humbled, Lord, in the dust, melted by thy mercy and thy goodness and thy favour toward us, unworthy as we are. We would seek for a heart to praise thy holy name. Lord, we much to bless thee for in providence and in grace. We do pray to have a heart to crown thee, Lord of all. But above everything, we praise thee, dear Lord, for thy coming into this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die, and for poor, wretched, vile sinners. And, O Lord, we would thank thee for that precious blood that thou didst shed that doth for sin atone. And, O, may we be led by faith to Calvary, to have a glimpse of a little thou didst endure, and may we have the sweet assurance and the sweet seal from heaven that it was for us thou didst suffer, bleed, and die. Oh, we do pray, dear Lord, that we might have that real religion that's more than notion. We might be truly quickened by thy Spirit and live a life of prayer and faith. Lord, we do need those real things, those real tokens, those real favours thou dost give to thy people. May we not be satisfied with just our chapel going, having a name to live and yet be dead. And, oh, may we be quickened by thy Spirit, made lively characters in the vital things of God. Lord, thou knowest how each one has gathered this evening. We pray that the hungry may be fed with living bread. Thou knowest those that truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, for thou hast promised they shall be filled. Lord, thou knowest those that have come up thirsty and need that living water that flows from salvation's wells. One said, "Thirsty sinner, come and draw." Lord, we pray that thy grace may abound in us each. We know so much of the aboundings of sin, but, oh, may grace abound over all. And may we be favoured like we read in thy word, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, may we be in possession of it, Lord. We would seek for thee to guide us and direct us in all things, and help us to live to thee and to thy honour, to thy glory. May a precious Jesus be made exceedingly precious to each of our souls. and that we may know much nearness to thee, Lord. We seem so often so far off, but oh, that we may be made nigh by the blood of the Lamb, and that we may be truly tender and humble, Lord, have the mind and the spirit of Christ, that our hearts may be melted, that we may be truly softened, Lord, and made tender, and ever be in thy fear. Lord, if thou art not working as yet in any, we beg of thee to put forth thy almighty power and quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. And oh, may there be those in this village yet to begin to be in want. And may the prodigals be brought to return. And Lord, may there be yet many throughout our beloved land yet brought to know thee as their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all and in all. Oh, do come, Lord, and awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place, and may it be so in our own flock and in Zion. Oh, we would beg of thee to work, Lord. We need thee so much to appear in these dark and solemn days. And thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? And may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. We would bear before thee the dear children and young people, that thou wilt work in them while in early days, if it would please them. And may they be kept from this world and all its attractions, the many snares and dangers. And may there be found in their young heart some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Oh, do hear the prayers of the dear parents for their offspring. Send down, we pray, those answers of peace. Remember those that have heavy burdens and trials, Lord, many in middle age, and many have impossible things. We beg of thee to appear and make bare thine arm. Hear the cries that go forth, Lord, of thy children. Remember those in old age and weakness who come and visit them, those unable to be with us in their homes, Lord. Oh, do remember them and be with them and assure them, Lord, that thou art their God, their Saviour, their Redeemer, their all. May they be favoured to feel that thy everlasting arms are under them. Prepare them and prepare each of us to stand before thy face. And oh, that we might be ready, waiting for thy coming. And, oh Lord, do come to those that feel maybe out of the secret, and whether they know anything that's real. Do reveal thyself, Lord, and make bare thine arm and work for them and in them. And may they see thy great salvation. Remember the deacons, Lord, and bless them, and bless the hymns they give out, and may they be guided and directed and helped by thee. And may the dear friends be helped to pray them along. And may it please thee to Add to the church here gracious souls, if it be thy holy will. There may be those constrained by the love of Christ to take up their cross and to follow thee. Oh, do remove all that hinders thy dear children, both here and in our own flock and in Zion. And may there yet be the sound of an abundance of rain. May thy dear servants be graciously encouraged and helped, and do bless their labours, and may it bear fruit to thy honour and glory. Remember those in affliction, Lord, many are laid aside, thy servants that are afflicted. We pray for that needed healing, if it's thy will, that thou wilt sanctify all these afflictions. And if it would please thee, may there be much blessing in them, Lord. And oh, may there be much teaching for the souls of thy people. And Lord, we pray that in all things thou wouldst have all the glory, all the praise. Who bless our own flock as they gather for prayer this evening. We pray that thou wilt be in the midst, and that there may be that resting, fervent prayer. May there be those sweet answers of peace sent down. And in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this guilty nation. Oh, how we need thee to work and appear, Lord, in these dark days. May it please thee yet to turn us from our idols and sin, and bring us as a nation, Lord, to repentance before thee, and to beg for mercy. Oh, do turn us, Lord, as thou hast promised, and we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. May thy presence be with our Queen and the royal family. Keep them, Lord, and bring them each to seek thy face. And oh, do comfort all that mourn. And those, Lord, in our little denomination that mourn, and do bless them, and those that are bereaved, and the families even today of two of our policemen. And those police women taken in a moment into eternity. We beg of thee to speak through these things and to sanctify them to each involved. And O Lord, may it please thee to work wondrously, both in our hearts, in our churches, in our loved ones, and in this nation. Lord, the power's thine. Who anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. We pray for gracious help and liberty. May thy word have free course and be glorified. May the dear friends lose sight of this poor sinner and see no man save Jesus only. Who hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou dost hear, forgive. So we would ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. 320.
Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and the first part of verse 23. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, and the first part of verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, the first part of verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. Throughout the Acts of the Apostles, we find on so many sacred occasions the Holy Ghost being poured out. And here, and in the previous chapter, we find the Holy Ghost wonderfully anointing dear Peter and John to preach lovingly, yet so faithfully, the glorious gospel of the dear Lord Jesus. And not only that, but too, the wonderful healing of the impotent man that had been in that affliction for 40 years. It wasn't as though he had only had it a day or two. He'd had this for 40 years now in the divine purposes of God, and like we've just sung, that they do ripen fast and unfold in every hour. It wasn't by chance that he was there when Peter and John went to the temple to pray. His case had got to be dealt with. And the Lord had wonderfully anointed Peter to speak to him for his deliverance, that he should be brought out of that deep affliction which he'd had all those years. And then we find they immediately were questioned concerning it, and the ministry that they preached following his deliverance, because they wanted to know, the council, didn't they, of how this came about and where the power came from. And Peter and John wonderfully declare to them that it was not in them. It was in the precious name of Jesus that he was delivered, and the power had come from heaven, from the Lord himself. It was not in Peter or John, but God had given the power. And not only this, but it had such an effect, didn't it, upon those rulers and upon the people. And what do we read? That they said in the council, but when they had commanded them to go out of the council, this was John and Peter, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." It was so seen, you see, by the council, by those that were there to witness it. But there's just one further thing before I come down to the text, and it's this. They took knowledge of Peter and John that they'd been with Jesus. It could truly be seen that they'd been with him. Now let us bring it home to our own hearts. Do we know what it is to have been with him? They'd lived very close to the Lord, these two dear men. And they had become much like him. And it was seen they'd been with Jesus. You know, the Lord can do it today. You see, grace shone in them. If we have been with Jesus, grace will shine forth, both in our heart, in our lives, in our walk. Think of many of the dear old saints that are now in glory, many of them, you know, the grace of God shone in them. And it was so manifested in their conversation, in their humble walk before the Lord and before his people and before the world. And it was wonderfully recorded, wasn't it, in what we read together this evening. That great grace was upon them all. You know, it'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, in our little denomination, if that was so manifest, that great grace was upon them all. And it was seen, you see. And the Lord was to witness this and manifest it even to the ungodly rulers, that this grace, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. These two men, you see, they live very close to the Lord. It's a blessed place, isn't it, when we live close to him. If we do, we will not be able to live with the world or the things of it. Because can two walk together except they be agreed? You may wonder why I've named this text this evening. In trying to plead yesterday, the Lord would give me a word to bring before you, and the Lord seemed silent, and I felt somewhat troubled as I went to bed last night concerning it. But, you know, as I woke this morning, the Lord dropped these words sweetly into my heart. And being let go, they went to their own company. Now, may the Lord help me to look into it a little as we bring it before you. First of all, Satan was doing all he could to destroy dear Peter and John. And he was working in those leaders and rulers and the council. And they held them in prison. But then the time came where, because they could find no fault in them other than they had preached a precious Jesus to those that had witnessed and seen this impotent man wonderfully delivered, and they exhorted so high the dear Lord Jesus, didn't they? They lifted him high upon the gospel pole that sinners might turn to him. And as they preached, like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, this precious Jesus whom they had crucified, he sets before them those sacred words: "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner." And then he speaks this sacred word: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but only through the name of Jesus." There was their only hope, and the only hope of the sinner today. Now, when they were let go, what does it set forth? Now, I want us help to look at this. First of all, and being let go, they were loose from the ties of they'd been held in by these men. They were loosed. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be at liberty. And this is where they were brought, to be free. Now, I feel it laid upon me to look first of all at a few of the things that may be binding you today and bind the child of God. Of course, we have it here, so much of Satan at work. And the hymn writer says, doesn't he, "And Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains." And there may be those of you tonight are saying, "Lord, do let me go as thou didst these dear men." You see, it didn't matter what they did, they could not hold them any longer. The Lord was to loose them and being let go. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord lets us go from the grip of Satan, isn't it? Because if you've got a real religion, and I have, Satan will do all he can to try and destroy it. And not only does he try and destroy that little hope and little religion that you may feel to have got, he's trying to destroy God's work in you. That's what his aim is. He's fighting against God. And oh, the bondage that the child of God feels when Satan is binding them. But oh, blessed be God, the Lord can set you free. We think of Lazarus. You look how he was bound firstly in the tomb. Martha said to the Saviour when Jesus came to the house, he hath been dead 4 days and by this time he stinketh. The grave had taken hold of him, death had took hold of him. It looked impossible he could ever be loosed, didn't it? But it wasn't impossible with the Lord, was it? And then when the Lord Jesus called him forth, and it was in the Lord's time, just as it was with these dear men, and don't forget the timing is all in the Lord's hand when he looses his people. And then he calls Lazarus forth, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Look at the power of the Saviour as he spoke those words. And he came forth. Nothing of that grave could hold him, not all the powers of death. But then he was bound, hand and foot, with grave clothes and a napkin about his mouth. So he couldn't walk, he couldn't handle anything, he couldn't speak. And what did Jesus say? Some very beautiful words, didn't he? And may he say it to those of you that may feel tonight you need the Lord to let you go. Loose him and let him go. You know, when dear Mrs. Mariner used to be in Brighton Bethesda, that dear lady she was in her early days, ever such deep conviction of sin, and Satan attacked her on so many occasions, so powerfully trying to destroy her. And there she was in all this bondage. And I remember the dear lady saying to me, she said, you know, I was nearly out of my mind in that bondage. Said, I verily felt sometimes the devil would squeeze all the life out of me. She said, In the end, I just could groan before the God of heaven and plead for his appearing. And the Lord spoke to her audibly from heaven those words, loose him and let him go. And she said, in a moment, as soon as the Lord spoke them, she said, my soul was like a bird let out of a cage. I was loose. Go back to Lazarus. The Lord needed to loose his mouth so he could speak. The Lord needed to loose his hands so he could handle things. Look at it first naturally and then spiritually. And then he loosed his feet so he could walk. Loose him and let him go. And, you know, that's what we need in our own souls, don't we? The Lord to loose our tongue and to loose our hands and to loose our feet. You see, when the Lord looses sets his people free and they're loosed, it's then they can truly praise him and bless his holy name. And it may come out in words, but you know, the words come right out of their soul, don't they? Their inmost being praising his blessed name for the liberty. And then too, they want to handle him by faith We read of the faculties of faith, don't we? And one of the faculties is of faith, the hands of faith, laying hold of Christ. Like the sparrows in the Song of Solomon, what did she say? I held him and would not let him go. And then the words that he speaks to you, the hands of faith, embrace them, don't they? This is where the real child of God that's blessed with living faith is so different than the natural hearer. Because in the real child of God, there's the hands of faith that lay hold of what the Lord speaks. It embraces them. They're sealed home to the sinner's heart. We read of those solemnly that the word profited them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You think how blessed when the Lord speaks the word faith, lays hold of it. It takes it to itself. The poor sinner does, because it's theirs, the Lord's given it. This is a wonderful thing, isn't it? The gospel's absolutely free. He's given to sinners, but faith will lay hold of it. And then, of course, there's the walking of it. We sung just now, didn't we? 'Tis by faith and not by sight. Christians yield obedience. And you see, the sinner that's loose can walk because they're free in the ways of the Lord and in his commandments. He'll loose your tongue, you see, so you can speak well of him. It's like a God-sent servant when he's anointed to preach, you see. The Lord will loose his tongue so he can declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. When I first went into the ministry, I remember one of the old servants of God, I think it was the late Mr. Herbert Dawson, he said to me, he said, you know, ever speak well of the dear Redeemer. He said, you may be in bondage, you may be in trouble of soul, but he said, ever speak well of him. And oh, to have our tongue loose to speak well of him. You see, dear Peter and John, they could speak well of the dear Lord Jesus, couldn't they? Why? Because he'd done so much for them. And it was he that was to loose them from this council and these rulers. And another thing that may be binding you tonight, may be your sin. Oh, the bondage that's felt within the sinner's heart, like the publican. You know, it's often referred to about his prayer, and it was so real, wasn't it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it came right out of his inmost soul, it did, because he felt the bondage there, the sin there, the guilt there, the wretchedness there. And what did he need? The Lord to loose him from it all. And he went into the temple, bowed right down with all this sin. And he went out, let go, freed from it all, didn't he? Because he went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Lord had loosed him. He let him go. Being let go. Wonderful experience, isn't it? Being let go. Free, you see. What do we read? The Saviour said it himself, didn't he? And he speaks of it so beautifully, I think it's in John's Gospel, of this liberty. If the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. The hymn writer said, the way to liberty is found. The Son shall make you free. But then there may be those, the men that bind you. They could be the world, they could be professors of religion, they could even be God's people left to themselves. We think of dear John here and Peter. They were let go. Gracious men that they were, and yet Satan wanted to bind them, and men wanted to bind them, and their own sin and the sin of your heart may be binding you tonight. But I'll come to that in a moment. Let's just tarry a moment with this sin that's binding you. What can loose you? Well, the Lord's a sovereign, we know that. But I particularly want to press this point home to your poor heart and mine, because it's vital. What a loose you, the precious blood of Jesus. You know, when that precious blood flowed forth at Calvary, it flowed forth freely for sinners, Spirit-taught sinners. And that blood not only will cleanse the sinner from all their sin, it'll loose them from that sin. They're free. Beautiful words, aren't they, that dear John was enabled to say in his epistle, but the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, frees you from it all. Precious blood, isn't it? It doth for sin atone. It looses sinners from their bondage, bound by sin. The hymn writer said, didn't he? Of it, say to the wicked jailer, sin, loose him and let him go. You know, I long to see this wonderfully fulfilled in some in Zion. I hope there are a few in my heart that I long for this for them, that the Lord had loosed them. I think of a dear lady, she's been in heaven now many years. She was only 60 when the Lord took her home. And, you know, I had some special love spiritually for that dear soul. And, you know, I longed for the Lord to loose her. And the Lord came, you know, and she walked in ever so much bondage. When she had her children and the Satan was let loose, and the dear woman almost went out of her mind. And I used to beg and wrestle with the Lord, he would come and loose her from all that bondage she was in. And the day came where the Lord did it, and he filled her soul, and he brought her right up out of all this turmoil of mind and bondage that she was in. And he set her tongue like a ready writer, and she could run in the Lord's ways. It was wonderful to witness it, you know. It wasn't many years afterwards he took her home to glory. Now, being let go, but oh, these men were bound by men. Some of them were evil men. the Lord was to let them go. And my mind goes to dear Peter in the 12th chapter, I think it is, of this sacred book, when Peter was in prison. Herod put him there. And the Lord permitted it, didn't he? He'd already taken the life of James. There was Peter, shut up in the prison. What was the Church of God doing? They weren't sitting idly at home and saying, well, it's the Lord's will he should be there. No, they were in fervent prayer that the Lord would loose him. Wonderful thing, you know, when there were those pleading, wrestling that the Lord would loose his servants, loose his people, and let them go. And while they were praying, the Lord dispatched his angel from heaven down into that prison as Peter slept. And he awakes Peter from between those two soldiers. Chained he was there. They'd made it secure, so as they thought, he would never be brought out. But the Lord knew how to loose him. And there in that prison, the angel says to him, arise, Peter, gird thyself, put on thy sandals, follow me. You know, the Lord's not bound to how he liberates his people. He can set them free. The chains dropped off Peter. The soldiers slept, and dear Peter knew not hardly where he was or what was happening. It was all the work of God. And as they went through one ward and then another, and you look how wonderful it was, they got to the gate of the city, and it opened of its own accord before them. Nothing could hinder this, you see. Peter was free, and the Lord had done it. And this is why he should have all the glory. You see, these dear men knew what it was to put the crown of praise and of glory on the Lord's head. It was he that can loose the sinner today. And oh, you look how those in the house, they couldn't believe it for joy. You know, really the same applied after the resurrection, didn't it? When the dear disciples, they heard the tidings that Christ had risen, and their hearts could not believe it for joy. It was just as though they were in a dream. But it was the Lord's wondrous work, you see. Now, one longs for it here in Swavesey, and I have many at home that I long for the Lord to let them go. The only minister I've ever heard preach from this word was the late Mr. Woodcraft. And the occasion was when he baptised a dear lady at Clifton. And that dear lady for many years had been in bondage. And in her great age, she was well over 70. The Lord wonderfully came, and in the closing days of her life, he let her go. He freed her. And this dear woman, she could speak of what the Lord had done, how he'd let her go. you, Mr. Woodcraft, preach from this word, and being let go, they went to their own company. Being let go. And you know, I've never forgotten how that dear lady was let go so she could go to her own company. Being let go. So there's two things here really in this evening. The first is being let go, being freed. And there may be those things tonight that are binding you, it may be, in ways that you cannot express. The things that are binding you. But the Lord can loose you. We can. Go to Him who's able. I tried to preach at home on Lord's Day those beautiful words. Now unto Him that is able. And oh, you think of that tonight. You can look at it in the case of Paul to the Ephesians, where he speaks it to do exceeding abundantly than you can ask or even think. And go into the prophecy of Jude. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of God. And then go into the book of Daniel and think of dear Daniel when he was to be cast into the den of lions. Is thy God, the king said, able to deliver thee from the lions? And what did Daniel say? My God hath sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths. Now you can look at many cases where the Lord let his people go. But I just hint at one or two and then I come to the second part. First of all, look at the Red Sea. How he let the people go, the children of Israel, freed from that sea, freed from Pharaoh. Look at the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Who let them go and freed them from the furnace? It was the Lord's work. And then you think of Daniel, how the Lord let him go from those lions. They couldn't touch him. Being let go and being let go, they went to their own company. Now, as soon as they were let go, where did they go? They didn't go in the world, did they? They didn't go to light things in religion. They went to their own company. Who were their company? The Lord's dear children, their brethren. Those they were one with in the things of God. This is where they went. And I think of the dear lady at Clifton, you know, and her great age. She wanted before she died to be among her own company. God's people in the church of God. Being let go, they went. They were free, you see, to go. They went. And oh, may the Lord bring each of us to that sweet point where, and they went, and you can truly say, I'll go for all his paths of peace. Being let go. They went to their own company. You think of dear Ruth when the Lord freed her from Moab and all she'd had to go through there. Where did she go? To the field of Boaz. She went with Naomi first, which is a beautiful illustration of the church of God. This is where she went. She went with his people. But then she went into the field of Boaz. Oh, that we might be like her in the field of the heavenly Boaz. And there she gleaned. How many times, you see, have you come up here, the Lord has let you go from the busy scenes of life, and you may have come up here. And in the field of Boaz, Your soul has been fed and nourished, and you know there was none like Boaz to dear Ruth. What do we sing in the hymn? Jesus, my Boaz is. And being let go, they went to their own company. To the Lord's dear children. To be with them. One in the things of God. Their one desire was to serve Christ. And to love him, to adore him. And they could do it among their own company. They were free there, weren't they? I think of that beautiful verse in the 139th hymn concerning God's house. And I remember my late dear aunt, she was only 53 when the Lord took her home, and when she came up out of the waters of baptism in 1950, she quoted those beautiful lines in the closing verse of that sacred hymn. There would I find a settled rest while others go and come. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home, among our own company. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. There's one thing we will just look at before we leave it, and that's this. Well, two things really. The first is this. Oh, may those of you that may be exercised concerning the sacred ordinances of the Lord's house, you want to be among his people, you see, among the company of God's house, dwelling with them, you see. What did the Shunammite woman say when the prophet said to her through Gehazi, wilt thou be spoken of for to the king or to the captain of the host? And what did she say? I dwell among mine own people. This people, Ruth said, shall be my people, and their God my God. But the second was this, being let go, they went to their own company. Oh, the time had come where our letters go from this earth to join the company in glory. The blessed song will be unto him that loved us and washed us in his own heart's blood. It'll be all of Christ. Oh, it will. Their own company. They want to be with them here, and they want to be with them in glory. The hymn writer said, with them numbered may I be now and through eternity. Well, beloved friends, I've scratched around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this text to us. And may we know more and more sweet liberty of what it is to be let go. And being let go. And you young ones, think of it tonight. They went to their own company. The world a go to its company. Professors of religion a go to their company. But the child of God, I want to go to their own company, which are God's dear redeemed children. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. 759.
Thank you.
come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.